He'll be speaking, and he, as I told you last time, he has always been here to direct us and to guide us. Whenever there's a shift in our personal lives, and whenever there's a shift in the ministry, every time we've had to move, Apostle Holford was there. Actually, he started the moving when he prophesied to Brent. So, Brent, you seeing anybody? Brent said, no. He said, oh. He said, Do you mind? Are you open to anything God is saying? Brent said, yes. He said, even if it's an Indian? Brent said, oh, okay. He said, oh, great. And that was the beginning of this Brent and Marsha team. Yeah, so every shift that we've had, every infusion and every prophetic apostolic move, be it on marriage or even the church moving and the church expanding and even the apostolic call on our life, Apostle Holford has been that person who's instrumental in bringing the word of the Lord. So it's really important that you are here. We have our workers' retreat on the 28th. All workers, it's mandatory that you are there. Please liaise with your team leads, your team leaders. You know who they are. If you don't, you can speak to Pastor Karen if you don't know who your team leader is. And Pastor Karen will redirect you to your team leader. Yeah. And the retreat, it's the Lord spoke to Brent, Prophet Brent, Apostle Brent, about a couple of things. And we really, really want to get the workers. We need to have this revival fire, apostolic center, DNA going, pumping, moving. And the workers and the leaders, you are a reflection of who we are. You have to have our DNA. So we really need to take that time to spend with you, to invest in you, to love on you, to fellowship, and to tell you what God is saying, so that when we come out there on the first, second, and third, and moving forward, we are in one accord, we are united, we are together, yeah? Transforming and empowering life through the power of God. Our fast ends on the 21st, which is Sunday. Tomorrow. Our fast ends on the tomorrow. Our fast ends tomorrow. Amen. And we have 7 nights of prayer starting from Sunday night at 7 p.m. from 7 to 8. Those of you who haven't been here for 1 hour of prayer, it's really 1 hour of prayer. If you want to stay and talk to Sally after, you want to stay and talk to Ronald, that's your business. But 1 hour of prayer is really 1 hour for prayer. If you want to stay and stay at the altar, it's up to you. But the 1 hour of prayer is really 1 hour of prayer. Because sometimes people say it's 1 hour of prayer and we have special and we have offering. No, we don't have those things. We just have 1 hour of prayer. We are serious. We come to meet with God. We come for 1 hour of prayer. And that goes on from Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday for the entire week. Next Saturday is our last day. On the 5th of February, it's our anniversary service at 4 p.m. Please, y'all, help me get this out, get the news out. At 4 p.m. on the 5th of February, our anniversary service. And we really want to start promptly. That's a Sunday, so we will not have any morning service. Yay. Okay, we have evening service at 4 p.m. It's a time when we come and we celebrate, we reflect, because we've all contributed in some way to the 5 years, to celebrating this 5-year milestone of Revival Fire. It's been a lot. And we really, really thank God for everything that he's doing, yeah? So tonight, I wanted to speak to us about something that I have personally overcome, and from time to time I have challenges. And I know everyone has this, because people who know me, they know I will say two things, basically. One, love Jesus. I tell everybody to love Jesus, because I love Jesus. That's the only way it's done. And you just need to fight this thing in your mind. And many people throughout the fast, and many people throughout life, have been having this challenge, the battle of the mind. Now, you know, when I preach, I give resources. So Joyce Meyer's The Battlefield of the Mind, exceptional book. It's a long time old book, but it's exceptional. Joyce Myers, and I'm not going to post it on any group, so you all take the notes tonight. Joyce Myers, Bath Wheel of the Mind. You can read that book, and children can read that book, and they would be transformed. I read that book, and it helped me a lot. And I don't need to come asking my pastor, pastor this, pastor that. I read that book, and when you read your books, and when you pursue God, and you pursue truth, you do so by the Spirit of God, and you invite the Holy Spirit to come and illuminate your minds. You know, and really this fast has been a cleansing process for many of us, and there's been a big wakening up for me. It awakened many things. And Prophet Brent, he's still, he has his good days and he has his bad days, I'll be honest. But he's always good to me, but the temptation is there. Some days you feel, God, did you really say this to me? Did you really say that I need to fast for 40 days? And I saw that Bishop Ed Long died, and I said, Brent, when you go out in public, do you think people will think you're a pastor and is there something wrong with you? Are you sick or something? Because you've lost weight and your face is all grizzly. And understand something. In our minds, when we embark on a process and we embark on anything, when I embarked on coming up here, and I said, yes, Brent, I would run the church, I'll do it. Yes, on the 24th of October, when I said I'm going to leave that financial institution and follow the Lord in my full-time ministry, I signed up for this, and I told my mind that this is what I'm going to do and back off. And we need to understand that we are made up. I always say the innermost part is spirit, and then we have our soul. Our soul is our mind, emotions, and wills, and then we have our bodies. And basically, we have this challenge in the mind, because the mind is the intermediary. It's the thing that's between the body and the spirit. The spirit is the thing that was created, that when the Lord, he breathed life into us, that spirit, the breath of God, spirit. Spirit is really who we are, our spirit. We just see a physical body. But our mind is part of our soul, and our soul is the thing that we can either use to allow our spirit and the Holy Spirit to influence us, or we can allow the old man, or we can allow the enemy to influence our thinking. And for many of us, we've had many mind battles. We've had many mind battles during this fast, and we've had many challenges generally. And I just want to speak a little bit about that tonight, and I don't know if the Lord will lead me to speak a bit more on Sunday. And basically, why do we have battles in the mind? You know, have you ever wondered why we have battles in the mind? Understand something. When you see something, it's territory. It's ownership. When we see something and we place value upon it, it's territory. A simple example. We placed a bin out there. We placed a bin, for those who don't know, we placed a bin out there. A revival fire bin, right? So that we could put our revival fire garbage in the bin. And we thought that was our territory because we own our bin. But we don't have any CCTV cameras or anything there. So everyone decides to own our bin. And after Christmas, when we came back out, the bin was just, woo, an eyesore. And the landlord said, but with the same regard, people saw this thing and they thought that it was of some value and they used it. It's a bin. You know, it's a bin, you save money, you don't have to pay a man to take it to the dump. There are some people who even put grass in their bags out there, and people not, they're not taking, the garbage collector's not taking up the, but that's our territory, and we left it unmanned. We left it unmanned, although I don't know how we could man a bin, but I'm just drawing an example. And it's the same thing with our mind. The reason we have mind battles is that we do not see our mind as territory to be taken. Understand? So we just go down the road and we say any old thing. Well, you know, it's January now, go over season, yeah? Go over season, so I ain't got no money again. I won't bother to go to this conference. I have no money. I will probably go to the next conference, which is in March or April or so. And we just say things, and the enemy says, okay, she spoke something, it's a thought. And an idea is a captured thought. Many thoughts go through our minds every day, every minute, every second. An idea is a captured thought, and that thought is housed where? In our minds. Now the enemy, night and day, he's camping out and he's looking at this territory. He's looking at this land. We thought we put up a nice bin so that we would put up 2 bags of garbage, and for the Christmas season there would be no garbage. And we thought this, we had this wonderful plan. And we even wrote B-I-N in red paint. So it looked nice and big and binish. But we didn't understand that other people saw our territory. Now, I feel very personal about it because I came and raised some cane in the church and said, and told Wade and they, y'all, hear this now. You know, I now came on board. Hear this now. Make noise for the bin. We should have our bin. And you know. But we were not looking after our territory. There were others who were looking after our territory, looking at territory. And one of the reasons why we have battles in our minds is that we do not see our mind as something that's significant enough to filter what goes in it, to filter what goes through it. Many times people come and tell me, Mom, Marsha, Apostle, all the other things, they say, well, you know, I'm the business not making money. That's famous, business not making money. Many people come to me and they expect me to give them some wonderful financial formula, which I can, but basically in your mind, if you are not thinking up new ideas, in your mind, if you do not motivate yourself to get your lazy behind off your bed and to get your tardy self up to go to work or to get yourself qualified, in your mind, when that territory is occupied by the enemy, in your mind, you've lost all the money in your mind. The mind makes the decisions in our lives whether to conform or confront. Conform or confront. I have a decision to make. Every morning I wake up, and there are times I'm in pain, and I make a decision. Jesus, I love you, and I prayed, and the pain is still there, but I'm going to go to work. And for spite, when I'm in pain, I will accessorize and wear some makeup. Right, Jenna? That's my girl. But I make a decision in my mind, and understand everything that we do, it starts with a thought process. Because we are not conscious of the territory in our mind, and we're not conscious of what we do, we think things arbitrarily, and that's where we get defeated. You know, and many times, as I said before, the mind makes a decision whether to conform or to confront, whether to conform to the word of God or to confront the truth of God. You can either decide to, this is the word of God and this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to fulfill purpose and destiny. I'm going to accomplish purpose and destiny. In our minds, we decide that. Or in our minds, we decide, I'm just going to whimper. I'm going to fall asleep. So our mind is the thing. It's a filter between our spirit and our body, our soul, the thing, the intermediary between our spirit and our body. And it regulates which decision we make, whether we make a decision based on the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, or we make a decision based on our flesh or human bodies. Sometimes we make a decision based on our flesh, so we're on a fast and we really need to eat. None of you, only me. And sometimes we make a decision. Now, I tell people I have a very soft exterior and a very hard interior. I learned that recently. Meaning, they may call me mom and send kisses and all of that, and that's great. But when it comes to the word of God and that thing inside of me, it's absolute. The word of God is absolute. There's no shifting. Some people say they need time to pray. I don't. I just know the word of God, and I know what God says. at times it can be, it does not benefit me, but I know the word of God. I know, I'm just going to go through a few devices that the enemy uses in our minds, if you all will permit me tonight. Arguments. You know, an argument basically is an attempt to prove or demonstrate a proposed idea or perspective. And many times we find ourselves between opinions in our minds, an argument. It seeks to convince us of something. To go to the club, not to go to the club. To go to the club, not to go to the club. To go to the club, not to go to the club. Simple thing, to pay our tithe, not to pay our tithe. To pay your tithe, to cuss this man or not to cuss this man. To cuss this man or not to cuss this man. That's your husband, man, eh? You know, an argument. So there's an idea. It's an attempt to prove or demonstrate a proposed idea or perspective, a viewpoint, to convince us of something. Arguments are based on knowledge and mindsets derived from the fallen human nature that are flawed. So arguments based on knowledge and mindsets derived from the fallen human nature are flawed. So in our minds, we have many arguments and we have many mindsets, but they're all based on the fallen nature. They're not based on the truth of God, on the truth of who God is. For instance, in our minds, we have this battle. Can I start this business? Yes or no? No. I can't start this business because this is not for me. And every time I've started something or my family can't start, I have no money. I don't have a set of money. I have no education. I didn't graduate, you know, from Arthur Lockjack or Harvard Business School or anything like that. I can't even speak well. It's an attempt by the enemy to prove or demonstrate a proposed idea or perspective. It seeks to convince us of something. There are many mental things found in natural knowledge, and the enemy uses such arguments as well as demonic deceptions to distract us from spiritual truth. So understand, during the fast, you're hearing arguments in your mind. There's a small voice in your mind trying to tell you, and it's based on natural knowledge. Okay, well, somebody hit me. They hit me on my chest. If they hit me on my chest and it's this while and I feel a lump, suddenly you feel a lump. Natural knowledge says when you get a lash, you feel a lump. You could possibly have breast cancer, right? So natural knowledge says I feel a lump. I could possibly have breast cancer. And now, as well as demonic, there's demonic deception here. Remember, my great-grandmother had breast cancer. So this territory of your mind, you get arguments. And it is meant to distract us from spiritual truth. The spiritual truth there in that situation, basically, I know the God that he led me and he will take care of me. One, two, every generational curse is broken. So arguments come. The goal of many satanic arguments is to keep people thinking outside the realm of the eternal or spiritual, and they will be confined to the realm of the physical world. Every argument in your mind, the aim of that is to keep you thinking outside of the realm of eternity. Every argument in your mind, when we talk about eternity, we talk about dying and living with Christ forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Those arguments from Satan is they want to take us away from thinking outside of the realm of the eternal or spiritual. So they don't want us to think about spiritual things. They just want us to think about natural things. Okay, people not buying tickets for the conference. Okay, that means the ticket's not going to get sold because if they haven't bought it and it's 2 weeks away from the conference, so it's not going to get that because that's natural, right? And it keeps us away. Those arguments keep you away from the spiritual world. It confines you to the realm of the physical world. Arguments in your mind, such arguments in your mind are based on facts. They aren't based on faith. So when you get these arguments in your mind and something in your mind, how many people have ever had something in your mind trying to convince you to do this or to do that? Arguments in your mind. These are things that have really come to cripple you. They come to limit you. They tell you that your ideas are limited, your resources are limited. They tell you that your talent and your gifting is limited, the arguments in your mind. Arguments that Satan brings to people's minds are not truth. So you need to understand the things that come through your mind and the battle in your mind. You need to know truth. And where would we find the truth? Where would we find the truth? The Word. You shall know the truth and the truth. You find the truth in the Word of God. So the arguments that you have in your mind can be fought with the truth, with the Word of God. And when these arguments are accepted, they begin to accumulate. So one, I get lashed, right? Because if people don't like me, I get lashed. Two, I got lashed from my chest. So that's breast cancer victim. Three, I have a lump. Four, when these arguments accumulate, they can become thought patterns and we continue to think. The enemy causes us to develop. He now has taken territory. They become thought patterns or structures that are contrary to God. So immediately in our mind, we start to resist healing. I hope you all are understanding me tonight. Because if you really just take this in and even get the book, read the book, you will understand how to defeat the enemy in your mind. There'll be fewer phone calls to pastor, intercessors, or you'll actually be above and you'll be helping your neighbor, your unsaved neighbor. One of the things that I've found very useful in my life and a very instrumental evangelistic tool is my ability to sit down, see a problem, and solve a problem. And it's not because of my intellect, but it's because of the Holy Spirit and the dominion I have over my mind. Because you see, I was birthed in a place and a time where the enemy had from my mother's womb, I was bombarded with a spirit of rejection, and I had mind battles and mind battles. Literally, as a child, I could think of myself happy, and I could think of myself sad. And you know which one I thought myself up? Sad. So you think of yourself sad, you try to commit suicide, you believe all the lies of the enemy, and eventually you start to resist the truth of God. And what does the truth of God say? You shall surely live and not die. And that's where spirit of suicide comes in, when the argument of life and the argument of eternity is defeated in our minds. Yeah? Such thought patterns resist and dispute the supernatural, including the principles of God's kingdom. They depend on psychological, religious arguments to support their proposition. Sometimes Christians try to use natural arguments to convince people to accept Jesus Christ as the truth. However, we know that the human argument can draw people to God or change them spiritually. Only the Holy Spirit can do this, and He operates in the supernatural realm. So many times, And we see it out there all the time, people who are full of logic and they're full of goodness in common G, not the fruit of the Spirit, goodness, just goodness. And, you know, they give donations and they do nice things to people and they're well-intended, but they're not God-intended. And people can only be won but by the Spirit of God. Another thing that we suffer in our mind are reasonings. We try to reason things out. And reasonings refer to a series of concepts that have been compiled or arranged in order to prove something or to persuade others. So we reason things out, and many times we reason things out to satisfy our selfish motive or a selfish desire. Yeah, so we reason things out. Reasoning endeavors to put ideas in a logical. How many people are logical thinkers? I'm a very logical thinker. And reasoning endeavors to put ideas in a logical order and thereby reach an accurate and useful conclusion. So we try to reason things out in our mind, right? So here's what. We have a business. Why am I speaking of business? I don't know. We have a business. It's probably Marvin, Marlena. We have a business and we want to boost sales. So reasoning, we think of the logical thing to do, okay? Or we want to leave Trinidad and Tobago and we want to study in America, right? We want to go to Howard University. And what do? Logically, we think of, okay, what are the steps I can take? If you're a certain age, you can probably do SATs and get a full scholarship. That's one thing, logically. Two, you can have a rich aunt, uncle, second cousin, fifth cousin, grandmother, cousin, something nice like that, and they could sponsor you and be a sponsor. Three, you could go to the States. Well, you can't go do it illegally. Four, if you're of a certain age, we're going to save our money. We're going to work. We're going to get a small job. We're going to work. We're going to save all our money. And we're going to do some courses. And then we're going to get a visa. We're going to go to the embassy and all of that. Logically, we try to make things happen. We try to have if I have a business, I want to push the business. I want sales to grow. What do I do? Internet marketing. I want sales to grow. I have a sale. Yeah, I have a clearance sale. I have a something sale. I have I get sales representatives because, many people, they have sales representatives on behalf of their company going to the supermarkets, going to different things. And logically, reasonings, and we find a nice logical reasoning and a nice logical method. But what happens when you get a spoke in your wheel? What happens when you write SATs and you don't get a full scholarship? What happens when internet marketing does not work? Because there's competition. What happens when your sales reps, you're just not getting the right sales reps? These people are taken from the company and they're not adding to the company. What happens then when logic and reason falls apart? Human reasoning has taken the place of reasoning according to God's word. Now the Lord says, come and reason with me. Come and talk to me. Let's talk and let's trash this thing out. And he says, come reason with me. Talk with me according to my word. According to my statutes. Again, according to my truth. Human reasoning has taken the place of reasoning according to God's word and character and is therefore deficient. This is especially in the case in many of our educational institutions and much of our academic scholarship fund in the Western nations. In some instances, people have made reason their God, and they've reasoned God out of their lives. Yeah? Reasoning, that's another plan of the enemy, another device of the enemy. So I reasoned this out, okay? So here's what. I need to lose some weight. That's Sean and I. We need to lose some weight because we eat plenty for Christmas. That's only Sean. And we're having a fast, right, Sean? And Dr. Miles Monroe said the fast is a good time and da da da. So what we can reason this thing out and we could go on a fast. And as a matter of fact, every month we could go on a similar fast and we do two things. One, save money, and two, lose weight, we maintain our physique, and three, we don't have to go to the gym to work out, and build muscle and that kind of thing. And really, in our reasoning and in our logic, we really don't really care about strengthening our organs. We just care about losing weight and saving money. And it's logical. We haven't applied any of God's truth and any of even the truth of science. We haven't applied any of those. And many times people, as I just said, they allow reasoning to reason God out of the picture. Reasoning is what brought about the Big Bang Theory. The Big Bang Theory came out of reasoning because this world is something that somebody could not have created it, right? Because when God said, come and reason with me, he would have said in Genesis, remember Marsha? 1:1. In Genesis 1:1, there was a thought reaction in my mind. And when I thought something, I said something, and something happened. And the earth was filled with void and darkness, and there was confusion. And then I separated it, and I called it day, and I called it night. And then I said, and I called water, and there was land. And there was the different spheres. And that's God's reasoning according to his word. Yeah? So sometimes when human reasons encounters God's promises and his supernatural power, it usually places them in the realm of impossibility. How many times have we reasoned things out and said, this is impossible? I could never go to the United States of America. Now, I am one of those people who really, really, really wanted to study in the States, and I did not. And I'm one of those people who really, really thought I wanted to travel, and I was called to travel, and I am traveling, but it's just not how I thought I would have done it. Because in my mind, I thought, you know, I'd have gone to some finance conference and sell something, and I met some guy on Wall Street. Now, if not in Wall Street, some anywhere in the airport, that kind of thing. And people would have loved my presentation that I made, you know, for the S&P 500 or something, something, something. And, you know, they would have liked me, and I had to work real hard, and they would have invited me back, and, you know, and I would have stayed in the States, I would have traveled the States, and I would have traveled the nations of the earth. And because those things didn't happen, impossibility came. And I was actually telling someone, there was a time in my life when I thought I wasn't called to be no preacher and thing. So I threw away my Bible school certificate. I threw away all my sermons. I had sermons. I threw them all away. I just thought, you know, impossibility. My logic and reasoning said, nobody's going to ask me to preach. Nobody's going to, I'm not going to do these things again. So I threw them all away. And when our human logic, that's when my human logic came, it superseded, it took precedence, it took preference in my life over the word of God and the truth of God. Another thing that we need to be mindful of is our imaginations. How many of us imagine? Now, I would imagine myself happy and imagine myself sad. I would imagine that I would have this boyfriend and, you know, he would hurt me really bad. And you know, that would make me strong, because if he hurt me really bad and he goes away and leaves me just like that, you know, I would be a really strong person because I'm living to tell the story, right? Imaginations. Imagination is the ability to form an image of something in one's own mind without seeing it with the physical eye. Many people live in a fantasy. Imagination. An image of the future can have such a powerful impact on a person that he believes as if it is already a reality for him. And many of you come to me today saying, you know what, I'm going to be just like my mother. You know what, I am 30-something and I'm not married. I'm not going to be married again. You know what, and you know the bold-faced thing about it? It's when you allow others to come and speak into your life and say, well, hear this, girl, you see, you, at this age, you're going to make no turn again. And you believe their imagination, because this is their life, and this was their reality, and this was the thing that they concocted up in their brain, the imagination. Imagination is the ability to form an image of something in one's mind without seeing it with the physical eye. There's no even logical truth. But you form an image of this thing in your mind. An image of the future can have such a powerful impact on a person that he lives as if it is already a reality for him. The imagination can be activated in us by words, either spoken or written. That's why we say to you, when you get a prophetic word or when people speak words over your life, please be mindful that these words bear roots. And they take up territory in your mind. And as soon as you hear a word, the minute you hear a word, a picture comes to your mind. An imagination, a thing. We hear conference, glam fab. People thinking about their kit, you know? What are you going to wear? What shoe? or hairstyle, which color, you know, imagination, things come to our mind. To use a simple example, suppose someone suggests a word to you such as fruit. Yeah, simple words such as fruit. When you hear that word, you begin seeing something specific in your head. I just said the word fruit. You begin seeing something specific in your head. And some people want to salivate, right? Right, Carice? An image that reflects that particular category of food. Let's apply this to faith so that we can understand why we often fail to exercise faith in our lives. Fear can be a significant entry point for demons, and that fear contrasts with faith. Our imagination plays an essential role in our lives because it can produce thoughts of either faith or fear. In the mindset that rules, the imagination will determine. And the mindset that rules the imagination, so your mindset, whether it's a mindset of God or it's a mindset of the enemy, the mindset that rules the imagination will determine which of those responses is and what we produce, whether it's a product of God or if it's a product of the enemy. Faith and fear are both derived from what the imagination projects. The imagination is part of the mind in which faith operates, because in the realm of the imagination, there are no mental confines, physical restrictions, or limitations of time. And this is also a very dangerous place, your imagination. In your imagination, this is where faith operates, or fear operates, whichever one. Because in the realm of the imagination, there are no mental confines. In your imagination, you don't have to be qualified. In your imagination, you don't need to know big words. In your imagination, you do not have to visit a place. If you can think it up, you can think up what America looks like. You can think up what Netherlands looks like. You can think up what an anteater, a real anteater. You don't need to have any prior knowledge. You have no mental confines. You have no physical restrictions. It's your imagination. It's your imagination. There are no physical restrictions, and there are no limitations of time, and that's why many of us, we allow the enemy to cause us to imagine and imagine and imagine and imagine, and we daydream. And before we know it, a lot of time is gone. Because we're just thinking up ourselves happy, we're thinking up ourselves sad, we're thinking up ourselves fearful. Faith activates the imagination of God in us, or the vision of what he can do. Fear paralyzes the imagination of God in us. Faith activates the imagination of God in us, or the vision of what God can do for us. Understand that. Faith activates that thing. When we have faith, the fact that we will get our visas, that is activated. When we have faith, the fact that we are healed, that is activated. When we have faith, the fact that we are success, that is activated. When we have faith, the fact that we're going to get breakthrough, that is activated. But fear paralyzes the imagination of God. Fear paralyzes whatever word of God has inside of us. That's what fear does. So understand, go through your mind. Think about these things. Think on the strongholds. Think on the mind battles that you've been having. Think on these things that you've, these challenges that you've been going through. And see whether it's activated by fear or it's activated by faith. Another, this will be my final point tonight. Strongholds. Strongholds are things that we battle in our minds, and these are things that many people entertain, and we ourselves have created them, and we ourselves continue to build them up. They are strongholds. The dictionary defines stronghold as a fortified place, a place of security or survival. So it's a very, it's a strong place, like Fort George. A stronghold is a place where someone that is in danger or under the threat of danger can rest in safety. So it's, so a stronghold is a place where someone, if you're in danger or any threat of danger, you could just sit down and you could rest safety, such as a walled castle or a strong tower or a fort that's overlooking the sea with cannons and that kind of thing. A stronghold is a difficult place to penetrate because it is guarded and it's not easily accessible. A stronghold is a difficult place to penetrate because it is guarded and it's not easily accessible. Understand something. Strongholds in our minds have taken time. The enemy has taken time to build strongholds in our mind. How many of you, every time the rain falls and you're driving on the street, and you're driving, you just get this image of, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness, there's going to be an accident. The tire is going to skid. Oh my goodness. Some people, their strongholds in their mind when they're flying, it's difficult for them to whenever the plane has to go up, they have to be asleep or they just... And when the plane is coming down, if there's even a little turbulence in the air, they just freak out. And I've seen these people, they just freak out, and they are amongst us too. Now, I think I have applied logic and reason to everything because my thinking is I can swim very well. And the deeper the water is, the greater the upthrust. So I could tread water. And then if I die, I die. I'll just go on a ministry trip anyhow, and the people just need another speaker. I'll probably send Prophet Kyron or Wilt or one of them. But yeah, I think of all these things, you know. But for some of you, you've been, and let me tell you, the Lord specifically told me to speak about this tonight because I really believe that some people are going to get their deliverance tonight from strongholds, from imagination, from those things that the enemy has us bound under. I really believe, and yet there's literally going to be some deliverance here tonight in this place. And Luke 11:21 says, when a strong man fully armed guards his own place, his goods are in peace. A strong man, a stronghold. Mental strongholds are formed when we accept and come into one accord with false and negative arguments, reasonings, and imaginations. Mental strongholds are formed when we accept and come into one accord. Now, I spoke about arguments, reasonings, and imagination. I told you what an argument was. Girl, come now, Louis. A reasoning, well, we could figure it out like this, right? And an imagination is like you're seeing a thing. Mental strongholds are formed when we accept these things and we come into one accord with false and negative arguments, reasonings, and imagination. Satan's plan is to provide us with enough destructive thoughts to build those strongholds. Because then he will have a safe place from which he can rule our life and steal our destiny in God. Understand? It is a plan of the enemy that he uses each of these devices, each of these things in our mind, so that he can build a stronghold, a strong place, a fortified tower, so that he can rule our lives. He will have a secure fortification from which he can operate in us, a fortification he has constructed from building materials of our own erroneous ways of thinking. Understand something. You come to church, and this is something I guess God gave to me. You come to church, and you say goodnight, and Pastor Karen does not say goodnight, but he's normally say goodnight. But he didn't say good night. I don't know if I trained myself, if this is something God did with me, but I would think immediately something is wrong with Pastor Karen. He probably sick or something, or he probably didn't hear me. We have the choice of thinking something is wrong with Pastor Karen and reaching out to him in love, because the Bible speaks of that, reaching out to our brothers and sisters. Or we can believe something is wrong with him and he's too proud because he's pastor now. You understand? And I am sister. So he didn't want to say goodnight to me because he's pastor and prophet not here. So you know he feel a little higher up. And he's look like prophet too. So he probably thinks he's up there. So I can think like that, or I can think these people in this church, they just, and my imagination of how Pastor Karen sees me, it starts to tick, tock, tick, tock. And my reasoning is, I started reasoning my mind, so, but he just talked to everybody, and I sit down, and I see he speaks to Patrice, and I sit down, and I see he speaks to Amara, so it can't be a race thing. And I sit down again, and I see he speaks to Cliff, so it can't be a gender thing, you understand? And I sit down, and I see he speaks to Sally. So what is it? It's me. In my mind, my reasoning says it's me, and my imagination says, you know what? Remember, he's a man of God, and he have a prophetic call on his life, and maybe, remember that sin you committed when you played Playway? That's a serious thing. No, but these, understand people, this is what happens. I know it sounds funny, this is just how I am, I can't help. But be like this. But this is what happened. So remember when I played Playway? The Lord probably revealed that to him. The Lord revealed it to him, and he know about it, so you know, he don't want to transference a spirit now. So he don't want to talk to me. And understand, we believe the enemy's lie, and we refuse to believe the truth of God. The truth of God says that the man of God, regardless of if we're good or bad, if we have sinned or we have not sinned, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And all can come into the bosom of the Father. And if Pastor Karen is a pastor and a true pastor, he is supposed to love me. And if he's a true prophet of God, and if he has a prophetic gifting, and what we teach in this ministry, although we may see things about you, God is not a God to expose you, and God is not a God to humiliate you. What you have chosen to believe is the lie of God that the enemy has placed in your mind. The lie that the enemy places in many of our minds is that God gam expose you. Na. You see, Tasha, you ain't pay your tithes and you pay your car installment, you can't get bunks. And these are all lies, and these are arguments in your brain. These are reasonings and imaginations. One famous is, I haven't been to church in a while, and everybody can say, what wrong with you? What wrong with you? But I was really sick, and then they'll say, sickness is not of God, and da 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 da. And the whole yada, 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 yada. And we all go through these things, and because we it's not just one thing we yield to. We yield to reasoning, we yield to argument and imagination. Satan forms a stronghold, and it's a fortified city. Can the musicians and the worship people come up, please? And it's a fortified city, it's a strong point. And when there's a strong point, a stronghold in our mind, it's not easily penetrated. And how can we prevent these things from happening in our mind? We speak about, Timothy speaks of, 1 Timothy 6:12 speaks about the good fight of faith. This involves not allowing our mind to become abandoned territory. When we allowed our garbage bin to become, well, sort of abandoned territory for 2 or 3 weeks, everybody decided to put their garbage because it's a B-I-N in red and look binish. So everybody decided to put their garbage in my bin. And when we allow our mind to become abandoned territory, it's a place where God's truth and God's thoughts and principles are not flowing through. If God's thoughts and principles are not flowing through, the world is full of the enemy's thoughts and principles tonight. And in this, when there's a stronghold of the enemy, The enemy can construct anything he desires. You understand how bold-faced the enemy is? When our mind is filled with God's thoughts and God's truths and God's ideologies and his ideas, we have the choice of believing and we have the choice of activating faith. Like our garbage. We have our garbage because and we monitor it. But when the territory is abandoned, the enemy is so bold-faced, he comes and he decides what he wants us to believe. And he decides what he wants our life to become. And he decides what he wants our destiny to become. I don't know how many of you have been affected by this, but I will no longer be affected by the lies of the enemy. But we have to make a conscious effort to fill our minds with the word of God and the thoughts of God. We must be good stewards and guardians of our minds. We must wage war to preserve the integrity of our thoughts. To accomplish this, we need to understand more about the process by which mental strongholds develop in the mind. And these things are built from mental strongholds are built when there's progressive, there's continuous thinking. Time and time and time again, we believe the lies of the enemy. And tonight, you know, God is saying he wants to take us to that place of prophetic apostolic transformation. But how much is our mind transformed? How many of you have been having battles tonight? Those of you have been having, let's just stand as we worship. Those of you have been having mind battles, I can't do it for you because after I lay hands on you tonight, you make a choice to go home and believe or not to believe. And there are many times you may call and I may say, well, you know, brother or sister, da, 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 and we need, but I'm not always there with you. There are times when I sleep, when I'm out of the country. There are times when I'm not going to answer my phone. There are times when I am not in your brain. What are you going to do? What are you going to believe? How are you going to move forward? Are you going to believe the generational curses that the enemy has spoken over your family? Curses are things that we receive or we act or we reject. Sickness, rejection, depression, oppression. I just want you to yield your mind tonight. And it's not a big fantabulous time where we say have a lot of amen, hallelujahs, but it's a time where we introspect and we look at ourselves, we look at our minds and where our life is going. And if you really feel that you need that additional help, that additional support, the altar is open. I will pray with you. But understand, the process only begins now. And when you come up, just ask the Lord to deliver you from this stronghold, from these thoughts, from these patterns, and just release yourself in the worship, because he's the one who's going to take you out of this, and he's going to take you through, and the stronghold will be broken.